And he's reading his Bible out loud so that others who aren't educated, mind you, he was a very educated man. Well, I don't know the translation they had, but I would tend to think it was maybe the Septuagint translation. Maybe not. Maybe it was the Aramaic. Or maybe it was the Hebrew. But this man was from Ethiopia, but yet he could read in other languages. I tell you, he was no fool. He was an educated man. And he's reading the Bible. And dear man, dear friend, listen, you could be a devout religious person and you could read your Bible every day and still be lost. Because saying your prayers and reading your Bible doesn't save your soul. But you know, not only was this man lost, but thank God he got saved. He got saved in a chariot. You see, as he was riding through the wilderness that day in his chariot, you know, the eye of God was upon him. God saw him. And God could look into the heart of this man, and he saw he was a man that really desired to know God, to know the truth. You know, as God looks into this tent tonight, he knows every single one of us, and he sees you. He sees you in the tent. And you know, he can look deep within you. You know, the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. And you know, God can look right inside you tonight. And he knows everything about you. He knows every secret that you have. He knows the secret sins in your life. He knows everything about you. He knows your whole history. Absolutely, from the beginning. He knows everything about you. And yet, you know, he loves you just the same. And you know, just as God looked upon that man lost in the desert, he's looking upon you tonight. Perhaps you're lost. And he's deeply interested in you. And you know, he was so interested in this man that he sent his servant, Philip the evangelist. Why, he was having a great successful campaign up there in Samaria. He was seeing hundreds of people saved. One day the Spirit says, Philip, get up and go into the desert. And this man, he left this great campaign behind and he went in obedience into a desert. Why, I'd be wondering, scratching my head, why is God leading me into a desert? Here, there's nothing but camels there and scorpions and what have you. But Philip obeyed and down he went into the desert. 18 miles, no public transport. He had to walk all the way, 18 miles. And there as he saw this company, the Spirit of God says, join yourself to this company. And there's Philip the evangelist, and he's running alongside the chariot. I'm glad it wasn't me. I don't think I would have lasted too long. But he's running alongside the chariot, you know. And as he's running along, he hears what this man's reading from Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy. And he says to the man, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, how can I except someone should guide me? You know what I like about this man? Although he was a man of great importance and a man of great education, you know, he was a humble man. He was a humble man. You know, he might have said, well, of course I understand it. You know, I'm reading it and I can speak in so many languages and I've been highly educated. No. This man just humbled himself. Acknowledge that he couldn't understand what he was reading. Dear friend, you'll never fully understand the Bible if you read it until you come to know the author. That is, until you come to know God. And then you begin to understand what the Bible's really saying. And this man, he couldn't understand. He was reading in Isaiah's prophecy, a great prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he was reading at the spot where it says there, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth, and so on and so forth. And the Ethiopian says, who's Isaiah speaking about? Is he speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about some other kind of man? It says, you know, he'd invited Philip to come up and sit beside him in the chariot. Now, that was a great honour, you know, sitting beside the Chancellor of the Exchequer of Ethiopia, you know, and there's Philip, the humble evangelist. He's sitting there beside him, and he's going to educate this man as to the way of salvation. And, you know, there it says about Philip, beginning at the same scripture, he preached unto him religion. Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. For Jesus was the man that Isaiah the prophet was writing about over 700 years before Christ was born. And in Isaiah chapter 53, that's a chapter, you read there about the sufferings of Jehovah's perfect servant, the Lord Jesus. And in particular, his vicarious sufferings upon the cross. And so beginning at that scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Dear friend, we are not wanting to interest you in the Hebron Gospel Hall tonight. We're not looking for canvassing for members of the folks, the church that meets in the Gospel Hall. Oh, you're welcome. We'd love to see you there. But that's not the main motive, you know. Our main motive is to present to you tonight Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. And Philip went on to speak about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus and how he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement for our peace was laid upon him and by his stripes we are healed. You see, he preached unto him the message of the cross. He preached unto him the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. That is what he suffered when all our sin was laid upon him. And the Lord Jesus became accountable for the sin of the world, for the guilt of the world. Yeah, the world. Not just a few selected folks, but the world. And that's why John says, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, that is for believers, but for the sins of the whole world. And you know, there's enough in the death of Christ to meet the need of the whole world. What do we mean by propitiation? We mean that the Lord Jesus on the cross, he satisfied God's justice, the claims of God against man's sin. He fully satisfied the demands of divine justice. And he bore the stroke, he bore the judgment, and he made expiation for sin. He exhausted all God's judgment against the sin of the world. Dear friend, you can be saved tonight because Christ died for you on the cross. And you know, sitting there in the chariot, this man, having heard the gospel, he believed it. He believed it. Have you believed it? If I could climb Jacob's ladder tonight and seek out the Ethiopian, that's where he is, up there in heaven tonight. If I could seek him out and say, tell me, where were you saved? Do you think he would scratch his Ethiopian head and say, well, now I'm just not too sure about that. He would tell you right away, you know, I was saved in a chariot alongside Philip the Evangelist as I was on my way home to Ethiopia. It was so real to this man. Tell my dear friend, where were you saved? Are you saved? You know, you could be saved in your seat tonight. A dear lady who attended the meetings that my son-in-law had 2 or 3 years ago, you know, she got saved in her car, her chariot. On the way home after a gospel meeting, she got saved in her car. I know of a miner in Lanarkshire that got saved hanging upside down by his shoelace over a pit. You know, there's different places and circumstances, but the main thing is this, to be sure you're saved. Now remember, religion can't save you. Praying in itself can't save you, saying prayers, even reading the Bible in itself, although it could be the means of you coming eventually to Christ, but just reading the Bible out of a sense of duty, that can't save you, dear friend. And how did this Ethiopian get saved? He got saved in the same way as the jailer got saved. We were preaching about the other night. He believed in the Lord Jesus. He put his trust in Christ. And how do we know that? Well, you see, he had a desire to obey the Lord, and as they're driving along, suddenly he spies perhaps an oasis, and there's a little pool of water, perhaps a stream in the desert, a brook there, and he says, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Well, that tells me that Philip must have taught him about baptism as he preached the gospel to him. You know, dear friend, I want you to know tonight that if you get saved in the meeting tonight, then you must be baptized. Not that baptism saves you, but you must be baptized because the Lord's commanded it. And Philip says, "Well, now, if you believe with all your heart, then you may be baptized." Philip wanted to make sure that this man was a true believer because, you know, if you're not and you get baptized, that won't do you any good. You'll just go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. That won't save you. And so he gave his answer. What was it? "I believe." I don't think he whispered it. I don't think he whispered it to Philip. I think he said it out loud to everyone right here. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He wasn't ashamed to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he went down into the water and he was baptized. Philip baptized him. You notice they went down into the water. You know, Philip didn't go down first and get a little flask of water out and pour it over the man's head in the chariot. No, they went down together into the water. And Philip immersed him in the water, a little picture of death and burial with Christ. And they came out of the water, resurrection with Christ, to walk in the newness of life. So he got baptized. Am I speaking to a believer here in the tent tonight, and you're not baptized? You see, I believe baptism is connected to the gospel. And maybe if we preach baptism over a baptistry tank full of water, we might get less false confessions. And so, we must challenge you tonight. If you claim to be a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you claim to be saved, then you have a responsibility to be baptized as a believer. And the jailer, the Ethiopian, he got baptized. And the last we see of him, he's going down the road. He said he went on his way rejoicing. By the joy he'd never known before, the joy of salvation. Going back to Ethiopia, no doubt as a missionary, to tell his folks about the Saviour that he'd come to know. He went on his way rejoicing. Dear friend, I want to tell you this. There's a joy in salvation. It's a wonderful thing. And you can have this joy tonight, the joy of salvation, through receiving the Lord and obeying the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. So may the Lord encourage each of us tonight to follow this man's example and, if never before, to put your trust in Christ.